Is James' teaching on faith, works, and justification reconcilable with the rest of Scripture? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January is the new Concordia Commentary on James. It's written by Issues, Etc. guest Dr. Curtis Giese. The Concordia Commentary on James is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on James, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month.
Postmodernism, in its sort of rejection of truth overall, has left this one area of truth remaining, and that's the lens of power.
Social justice is not compatible with a biblical commitment. CRT, critical race theory, is not compatible with a biblical commitment at all, and neither is liberation theology.
Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in Jesus. And the strength of our faith completely depends on the strength of the object of our faith.
When you separate the work of the Holy Spirit and the receiving of the Holy Spirit from the waters of baptism, then you open yourself up to the false teaching of the Pentecostal and charismatic movement that you can be a Christian but not have the Holy Spirit.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Those two words, for us, embody our Lutheran understanding of the blessed exchange that Christ was born and died for us, taking our place.
New parents love listening to Issues, Etc. in the middle of the night.
Jesus is traveling through foreign country. He is encountered by 10 people who, well, one of whom is, he even calls him a foreigner. He's a Samaritan. But all of them are lepers, and Jesus heals all 10. Only the Samaritan returns to give glory to God, and Jesus finds that remarkable, surprising. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will be our guest. We'll speak with Roger Severino, a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, about the U.S. Supreme Court and vaccine mandates. They heard oral arguments. They are expected to make a decision rather quickly. Walt Heyer joins us to tell us a story about transgender transition regret. And then Dr. John Bombaro will be alongside. We'll discuss the theatrics of preaching. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Jesus is passing through Samaria and Galilee. Why is that important to know for this story?
It's important to know because what he's doing is going into a Galilean area where there are Gentiles. And, of course, she's going to be running, therefore, into the lepers. And that's why going from Samaria into Galilee is he enters a village and meets with these 10 lepers who stood at a distance from him because of the rules found in Leviticus.
What would having leprosy have meant for a person at this time?
I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to take a look at Leviticus chapter 11, 12, and 13, because particularly in chapter 13, there are laws about leprosy. And if a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease. Now, that term leprosy was used for several skin diseases, but they became such that a person near him could also end up getting the sickness. And chapter 13 is really kind of interesting. It has the laws about leprosy, and it talks about that when a man is afflicted with a leprous disease, he shall be brought to the priest. And there are laws for cleansing lepers. And I think this is really important. This is chapter 14 of Leviticus. There's a whole bunch of things that have to happen. And the first thing that happens is the Lord says to Moses, "This shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp where the lepers were, and the priest shall look. And if he is healed, then the priest shall command a number of items to be done, including he is cleansed with two live clean birds, cedarwood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop." Now, verse 11 and following, I want to read because it really helps us with Jesus. "The priest who cleanses him shall set the man who is to be cleansed and these things before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the priest shall take one of the male lambs and offer it for a guilt offering, along with a log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb in the place where they kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the place of the sanctuary. For the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest. It is most holy." Now, of course, the whole Bible talks about Jesus is the sin offering. And so you only can understand this appropriately with the words of Jesus in verse 19, where he says, "Rise and go your way to the leper who was cleansed. Your faith has made you well," because Jesus follows the rules of the Old Testament in Leviticus. And as he enters the village, he meets the 10 lepers, and they are standing at a distance because they weren't allowed to come forward, and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, this is before they were healed, but they go ahead, and on the way to the priest, they find themselves healed.
What do they mean when they say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us"?
Yes, I consider there to be a number of attributes that God could have. He could deal with us in a just way, which means we get what we deserve. And that's talked about in our liturgy, that we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. Fortunately, God is not just that kind of a God of a justice. He's also a God of mercy and grace. Now, he's just in the sense that Jesus dies on the cross and therefore justly has our sins forgiven. But he does not give us what we deserve. And the word for that is mercy. Mercy is not giving what a person deserves. And so every Christian has a merciful God. It's said throughout the liturgy and found many times in the Bible, which means he is not going to hold us accountable for our sins. He is merciful toward us. And then we have the idea of grace. Grace is another attitude where he gives us what we don't deserve. Every religion in the world outside of Christianity teaches that God is a God of justice. You get what you deserve. And that's why they work hard in trying to do good works to placate this wrathful God, thinking thereby they can earn salvation. and merit salvation. But the Bible is clear. Nobody merits salvation. You inherit it. And that's because God is merciful in not giving us what we deserve. And that will occur, of course, on the day of judgment, when we will be free from all disease, from all death, from all grief, from all sorrow. And so that's really what's behind the cleansing of these lepers.
So when he tells them to go show themselves to the priest, would the Samaritan have been able to do that, being a non-Jew?
Yes, because the Samaritan is already an outcast. So were the lepers. They were outcasts. They were not allowed in the temple or anything. And so when Moses talks about that these outcasts are to be sent to the priests, that would not be a problem in the Samaritan being able to go there, because he already was an outcast, and he would be going to the priest so the priest could check him out as to whether or not he truly was a leper anymore. And by that time, he was cleansed. There are a whole number of Gentiles that had become part of Judaism. In other words, they had a separate place in the temple because they believed what the Jews were saying. And we get that also from other outcasts. The shepherds at the birth of Jesus were considered outcasts because of their bloody work with the sheep. The wise men were outcasts because they were Gentiles. And yet God used them to proclaim the greatest news the world has ever heard. So I don't see any problem at all with an outcast, even a child or a woman who was not permitted in the temple proper. They had their own place of worship, that they too, if they had become a leper, would go to the priest, go through these cleansing rites, and therefore declared to be free of leprosy. Now, even when they were declared by the priest to be freed of leprosy, they still had to stay away from the group for 7 days and then shave off all their hair. And at that point, they were bathed again and then permitted to be among the people. So that's why Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priests. And that's all found in the book of Leviticus.
What then, other than the fact that he's a Samaritan, what is different about the man who returned glorifying God?
What is different is that he, as a Samaritan, was considered an outcast. Samaritans, what had happened when Israel was entered into the promised land, they began to intermarry with the Gentiles, which God had forbidden them to do. And those children of those individuals were called Samaritans. They had a different temple than the one in Jerusalem, different place of worship, etc. And we recall that when Jesus meets that woman at the well and asks for a drink, she says, "What is a Jew asking a woman for a drink? You know, we have no dealings with you." And then Jesus proclaimed to her who he was, that he had living water, and could even tell her who she was living with in a sinful way. She went back to the village, said to the people, "I think I found the Messiah." And people believed what she said. Then they went out to Jesus, and he stayed with them a while. And after a time, they now believed what he said about himself. And so this is a good example of Jesus dealing with what would be considered as unclean individuals. And yet he really was merciful to them in not giving them what they deserved.
How does Jesus respond to the Samaritan when he returns glorifying God?
Well, Jesus says, and we have to understand that when he turned back, he was praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And Jesus says, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And that means he was a Samaritan. And so there's no answer to that question. And there is a debate among individuals, theologians, as to whether the 9 believed in Jesus in the same way that the Samaritan did. It's not at all unusual that Jesus uses the Samaritans in various parables. Like, remember the man who is robbed by robbers, and it is a Samaritan who comes and helps him to the inn and pays for his way of healing. And so that's really a shock to the people who are hearing this parable, because they did not think that a foreigner would do that. So the question among theologians is, were the other 9, were they believers in Jesus and just forgot to give thanks? The CPH material does a very good job, and we're talking about the enduring the faith. When they make this point, and it's a point that we need to remember, often we think of this lesson as a lesson about being thankful. Well, that is important. But if we only focus on that, we only focus on ourselves and what we do. The more important focus should be on what Jesus does for the lepers and for us. I personally do not believe that the 9 lepers had the same kind of confidence and trust in Jesus as did the Samaritan. Because you can't say that you have to be a believer before you are healed. If you recall the feeding of the 5,000, those were 5,000 men, not including the women and children, at the end of which they were willing to make Jesus a bread king and were kind of following him, thinking that he had come to put Israel back in its former place. But that's not at all why he had come. In other words, they still received bread and fish, 5,000 of them, a tremendous miracle. And there are other examples where miracles help people who might not necessarily be believers in Jesus. But maybe they were believers in Jesus. The text just isn't clear. If they were believers, well, maybe they're a lot like us Christians who often forget to thank Jesus. I remember at Thanksgiving, we would often go around the table with the family and say, "Okay, what are we thankful for?" And it was interesting how many thanks were given for, well, we got a new car, or we got a new home, or I graduated out of school, or I got a promotion at my job. And we would try and help them to understand that the most important thing we should be thankful for, even on Thanksgiving Day, is Jesus. And so at times, even we Christians tend to forget to thank him. That's why we often will have a prayer at the beginning of our meal, because it's a prayer of thanksgiving. When our kids were growing up, we just simply asked them to say, "Jesus, thank you for this food." Now, they knew that I had been working and received money, and Louise, my wife, had gone to the store and bought the food, but we were making the point that all of this was because of Jesus, that we were getting that which we really didn't deserve. We deserved temporal and eternal punishment, but he had mercy on us and through us was giving food not only to us, but to our children. And that was a way in which we would always say a prayer before every meal, mentioning Jesus and thanking him for what he has done for us during that meal.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Jesus healing 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. Jesus says, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." We'll find out what that means next.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our feasting on Ephesians. With unity of the Spirit, he gave gifts, speaking truth in love, putting on, putting off, and be kind to one another. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Is James' teaching on faith, works, and justification reconcilable with the rest of Scripture? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is the new Concordia Commentary on James. It's written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Curtis Giese. The Concordia Commentary on James is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on James, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Does this sound like your church budget process at the end of the year? You get last year's budget and go through with a committee line by line, maybe what we should spend next year. Maybe you have a prayer. But where's the Word of God in this process? When do the people hear what the small catechism says about giving and why we do it? Contact us at LCMS Stewardship so that we can help you fix this process, put the Word of God first, and put your congregation on a good footing. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, Altamont, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Green River, Wyoming. Grace Lutheran, Clarksville, Tennessee. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Brookings, South Dakota. Peace Lutheran, Hastings, Nebraska. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. St. Timothy Lutheran, Huber Heights, Ohio. And Zion Lutheran, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
We're discussing Jesus healing 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17 with Pastor Tom Baker. I'm Todd Wilkin, your link to Issues Etc. Here's what one reviewer said about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, the Concordia Commentary on James by Dr. Curtis Giese. Dr. Giese offers the church and the academy a thoroughly Lutheran commentary on James that should finally put to rest the unfounded accusation that Lutherans don't know what to make of James. You can find out more about this excellent commentary from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, the Concordia Commentary on James, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the Concordia Commentary on James on every page, issuesetc.org. We're talking with Pastor Tom Baker about the healing of these 10 lepers. Tom, Jesus tells this Samaritan who comes back, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." What does he mean?
Yes, there are a number of times, if you'll recall, the man born blind and then came to see Jesus, he himself didn't realize who Jesus was, but he obeyed Jesus when Jesus said, "Go and wash in the pool." So it wasn't because of faith that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, God himself. He just obeyed Jesus, just like these lepers did. "Go and show yourself to the priest." Now, there had to be some knowledge about Jesus and his other healing ministries, because this doesn't occur till Luke chapter 17. And there are a number of miracles that occur in the Gospel of Luke before this. So they had heard that Jesus had this power. And so they're probably not thinking of him as God, but knowing that he could have power over their illness, said, "Jesus, Master." Now notice that isn't the word for Christ. It isn't the word for God, but is one who is a leader, "Have mercy on us." So whether or not they had a faith that saved, we do know with the man born blind that when he came to faith and heard that it was Jesus, he assented that Jesus was the one standing in front of him who was the promised Messiah. But this occurred after the miracle had taken place. So miracles, this is a point we'd want to make to the children again and again. Miracles are happening all around us because the devil never wants anything good to happen. The devil is not merciful, but God is. So he trumps the devil, so to speak, and gives us good things, even if we are unbelievers. And therefore, unbelievers also receive good crops, etc. But the fact of the matter is that only the believer can come to a point where they're giving thanks to God. And so when Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well," that word faith is the word to trust in what I am saying. And when Jesus said to him, "Wow, go and show yourselves to the priests," that took some faith in those words of Jesus that let's go. Because on the way that they left, they were lepers. And yet to go to the priest was to show that they were healed. But they still went, even though they weren't obviously healed. But on the way, their leprosy left them. But only one, the Samaritan and the foreigner, came back to Jesus. All of us are foreigners to the kingdom of God. But then when we are baptized and come to faith in Jesus, we also may receive these wonderful gifts with thanksgiving.
What is the danger of making the Sunday school lesson, this particular Sunday school lesson, only about following the example of the thankful leper?
Yes, it's a big distinction between law and gospel. as I indicated, I read from the Enduring Faith, where that is very important, that we are to be thankful. But on the other hand, we need to realize the important focus is on what Jesus does. So if after reading this lesson, the Sunday school teachers think that the point is, now we need to be more thankful. Now, the CPH has a kind of a good exercise where the kids are given a piece of paper and they are to write down all the things they are thankful for. And they have a limited amount of time to do that. It would be interesting for the teacher then to take a look at that and see whether or not they're thankful for not just physical, temporal blessings, but also for the spiritual blessing. Because you don't want to give the impression that the more thankful you are, the better your life will be here on earth. What apostle was not extremely thankful when Jesus ascended into heaven? And yet all but one of them was martyred. So being thankful is not a way of meriting good things, but it is a result of the life of sanctification, that once we realize how important justification is, for we have been relieved of more than leprosy. A leprosy, by the way, which would really cause severe skin damages. We've been relieved of that. A leprosy of the spiritual nature, which would cause us to be tormented in hell forever. And instead, we are given the gift of heaven, and look forward to the day of judgment when we will no longer have any disease, any suffering, any death, and any sin.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you.
We will be discussing the U.S. Supreme Court and vaccine mandates with Roger Severino of the Ethics and Public Policy Center right after this. If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
Modern children's animations often seem to have it out for fathers. They portray them in the worst way. Fathers are the bumbling idiots. They're morons. They don't know what's going on. Is this a godly way to portray those who are responsible for raising us in the fear and instruction of the Lord? Well, if you have that question and you'd like to learn more about this, you need to pick up a January issue of The Lutheran Witness. We talk about fathers, mothers, and so much more. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more or order your copy at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
O morning star, of morning star, shineth around bright across the light
of God. Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at lutheranpublicradio.org.
Morning star, how fair and bright you shine.
Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.